Welcome to the Modern Mobility Podcast, brought to you by Modern Mobility Partners. This podcast is for transportation planners and enthusiasts who want to learn practical solutions to modern-day transportation challenges. And now, here are your co-hosts, certified transportation planners, national experts, and thought leaders, Kelly Kemp and Kirsten Moat.
Well, welcome to our first episode of Season 4, Episode 25 of the Modern Mobility Podcast. I am Kelly Kemp.
And I'm Kirsten Moat.
And as always, we are your fabulous co-host. So today is a very exciting day because we're actually recording from our brand new Modern Mobility Podcast studio. You heard me right. We now have our own studio within our brand new office space, state-of-the-art in Midtown Atlanta. So we're very excited to make this move into a much larger space to accommodate our growing firm. And I must say, Kirsten, I bet, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move out of the recording from the closet and into an actual studio.
We've finally come out of the closet.
Yeah. So today we are joined by one of our mod mobbers, Chisoon Yu. Chisoon, welcome to your first podcast.
Thank you for having me today.
And we're going to go over six things to know about electrified roadways. Okay, so first we're going to go over some background. What do we mean when we say electrified roadways? What's the definition? So an electrified road is the roadway infrastructure that can provide electricity to electric vehicles continuously, even as these EVs are driving. So it's also called an electric road, an e-road, or an electric road system. So if a road can provide electricity to EVs on the go, either with a wire or wirelessly, they are electrified roadways. But these days, they're pretty much wirelessly when we say electrified roadways.
Yeah, and electrified roadways can charge vehicles while in motion, which is really critical because as EV sales are rising, the need for robust charging infrastructure is also growing. And we're going to get into some more details about that during this episode.
Yes, very good point, Kirsten. So very recently, in March of 2024, the Biden-Harris administration released the first ever national strategy to accelerate the deployment of affordable and energy-efficient transportation, buildings, and industrial systems. Whew, that was a long one. So the strategy aims to guide the deployment of zero-emission, medium, and heavy-duty vehicle, which is ZEMHDV. So good luck remembering all that.
There's another acronym to add to the transportation.
Yes, many acronyms. So ZEMHDV charging infrastructure, which is really crucial to achieving goals to promote at least 30% ZEMHDV sales by 2030 and 100% sales by the year 2040. So while the strategy does not specifically mention electrified roadways, it really can promote the adoption of electrified roadways as they can function as charging facilities to these vehicles.
Yeah, and in Georgia, the Ray Foundation, which is a philanthropic foundation based in Atlanta, has really strived to bring innovative technologies to Interstate 85 in West Georgia, including EV charging lanes. So far, they've tested a 20-seat EV bus, which was receiving 25 kilowatts from the road while driving more than 50 miles an hour. So it's one of the first pilots here in Georgia, and I just want to give a shout out to the Ray for all the good work that they're doing.
Yes, that is so awesome. Okay, so what's the driving force of all this? Sustainability and greenhouse gas or GHG emission reductions are the major force behind this. We all know that global warming is a great challenge that we are facing today, and GHG emissions play a key role in global warming.
Yeah, well, I'd say a lot of people are on board with this idea of greenhouse gas emissions and climate change, but I can't say that everybody necessarily agrees with that.
Yeah, true. So scientists and institutions have urged to cut greenhouse gas emissions as soon as possible. For example, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, which is an international organization founded in 1988 to assess the risk of climate change, noted in the report that CO2 emissions need to be eliminated by 2050 to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees Celsius. What is that in Fahrenheit? We don't.
No idea.
No idea.
A few degrees.
Yeah. Something like that. So in order to reduce carbon emissions, especially from driving, which transportation emissions is indeed a major factor, no big surprise there, EVs can be one of the solutions. So, however, as we all know, the main concern for drivers to have EVs is their short driving range, that range anxiety that you hear a lot about. The short driving range comes from factors including battery capacity, insufficient charging infrastructure, and charging times. These factors have been obstacles for increasing the use of EVs, and electrified roadways can really be one of the solutions that can overcome those obstacles. So in short, the need to promote EVs has motivated the adoption of electrified roadways, because electrified roadways can solve the major drawbacks of driving EVs, which is that whole range anxiety.
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about the potential implications to the public. So electrified roadways can bring more people to driving electric vehicles. And according to the global survey report from McKinsey in January of 2024, 42% of skeptical EV buyers who would still prefer to buy an internal combustion engine car, that's our everyday driving cars, responded that their tipping points are the availability of chargers equal to the number of gas stations and, quote, larger battery capacities and driving range. And I have to admit, like, while maybe an EV is in my future down the road, in the next couple of years, I'm not sure that I'm quite comfortable purchasing one now. And it's for these very reasons. So if electrified roadways do become more available and can function as they are expected to, it's anticipated that more people will drive EVs, as their biggest concern about the driving range and the charging availability is solved. And one thing we're not discussing in this episode, but it is worth mentioning, is that there are several other challenges with EV purchases and making them more widely accessible to people, including the cost of the vehicles, the maintenance of them, and the cost associated with that maintenance, among several other factors. We actually discussed this in more detail in episode 19, if you're interested in other considerations for EVs. All right. So before we get into the steps, one more thing, just kind of what is our role as a transportation planner? Well, installing electrified roadways will be a public infrastructure project, and it'll utilize public resources and bring public benefits. So as transportation planners, I think it's our duty to identify and suggest the most effective and efficient locations for these electrified roadways. And we do so by analyzing travel patterns and predicting the future demand of EV trips. And in addition to this, you know, we can help to prioritize these locations based on that demand. And we can help identify pilot locations to test these, such as what we discussed with the Ray and what they're doing here in Georgia, so that we can kind of collect the before and after data and assess successes and develop some best practices and lessons learned before we go into widespread deployment.
Yeah, this is a good point, because we keep seeing over and over that with technology, everyone wants to deploy it, but there's a lot of hesitation about actually doing it because it's a financial investment. And let's face it, what if it's a flop? So it's tough to make a case for being on the bleeding edge of technology, especially within the public sector. So us as planners should be helping with this testing and determining its performance.
Yeah. And furthermore, you know, us as planners, we can identify the areas that benefit most from electrified roadways, you know, particularly in relation to air quality and from an environmental justice and equity perspective. All right. So, Jason, Let's turn it over to you to talk about six things we need to know about electrified roadways.
So six things to know. So first thing, purpose of electrified roadways. So why do we want to have electrified roadways? What is the purpose of having them? The primary purpose of electrified roadways is to provide electricity to electric vehicles while they are in motion. By integrating electric charging infrastructure directly into roadways, vehicles can charge while driving, thus extending their range and reducing the need for large, heavy batteries. In addition, we don't need to install charging stations everywhere.
This is a little different direction than the current EV planning, where it's focused all on charging stations and how far apart they are. So I'm curious of your opinion. Do you think that charging stations will become obsolete if these e-roads are widely deployed?
So I think actually getting the roads deployed is going to be a pretty long process unless it is somehow cheap and easy to implement. So charging stations will still have their place. And we also have to keep in mind that this will be implemented lane by lane. So there's still a need for people to charge while they are parked, so the demand for the charging lane is
manageable. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
That tracks.
Okay.
Okay. The second thing, technology.
Okay. The second thing, technology of electrified roadways. What is the technology behind electrified roadways? It is not hard to imagine if vehicles are wired when they are driving. You can think about something like trams. But what people have been discussing recently is not just that. There are two types of charging techniques, conductive and inductive. Conductive is wired charging system in a simple term. EVs will need to have their charging module wired just like trains. So conductive system will have some visual impact and limitation on roadway geometry. For example, for a light rail system, you see the overhead wires. In addition, conductive charging systems can be influenced by weather conditions like snow. And it also is more vulnerable to natural disasters like tornadoes, earthquakes, or hurricanes.
You know, add one thing, like this is not a new technology, right? Overhead wired transit systems have been around since really the early 1900s. And so the idea of an electrified roadway is not a new one, but I think as we alluded to earlier on, and you're about to talk about it, that's not exactly what we're talking about today. It's really this wireless idea, right?
Right, that's a great point. So, on the other hand, inductive is wireless charging system. Inductive charging is what has been discussed a lot these days because EVs can be charged while they are driving without being hooked to any equipment. Also, it has very limited or no influence on roadway users because they are installed under pavement.
Do you know whether the technology we're discussing, does it have to connect with a certain part of the vehicle? Like, does it have to touch, like, the tire, or does the car just have to be kind of over this in-pavement electricity and it doesn't really matter where?
So it depends on the type of the charging system. For the conductive system, the vehicles need to be connected to the road through a retractable pickup under them. Or for a tram-like system, an overhead connector is required. For the wireless system, vehicles will not need to be physically attached to the pavement. While there are several types of wireless system, there can be an air gap about 7 centimeters to 50 centimeters between the vehicle and the pavement. So in short, for the wireless systems, EVs just have to be over them and they get charged.
Okay, very good.
The third thing to know, benefit of electrified roadways. What are the benefits we can think of? Well, as you can imagine, the major benefit is that electrified roadways can support the reduction of emissions. EVs have substantially less emissions from driving compared to internal combustion engines, but it is not easy to convince more people to use EVs because of their limited driving range, just like as Kelly mentioned in the beginning. So the current battery capacity or lack of charging stations and slow charging speed all contribute to the limited driving range. And electrified roadways can be an answer because EVs can be charged as they drive. So you won't need to find a charging station and wait for a couple hours for charging. Then EVs will replace more combustion vehicles, including long-haul trucks and others. Furthermore, we can save huge costs for installing charging stations. And another benefit is the time savings to drivers associated with the electrified roadways. People do not have to stop and charge during their trip, saving time and ultimately saving them money, especially if that trip is a business trip.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've been thinking about, you know, when I'm thinking about purchasing a new vehicle, is I will likely take this to Florida, right? Like, I'll probably drive to Florida for vacation. By the way, from Atlanta, it's about a 5.5 hour drive down to the beach. I really do not want that to be a 7 hour drive because I have to stop multiple times to charge my car. So that's certainly one of the things that's kind of driving my decision making.
I just want to say that it usually takes me 7 hours anyway, because every 2 hours I have to stop and take a nap at the convenience store. My kids have gotten used to that.
That's a conversation for a whole nother
episode. Yeah.
That's a
conversation for a whole nother episode. Let me
talk about one more benefit, and then we'll move on to the next thing to know. So the last benefit I would like to mention is that electrified roadways could have some revenue potential. It could be similar to an express lane or managed lane, where there is a cost associated with using the lane. And this may be necessary as demand for the lane grows and in turn helps cover the ongoing cost for providing.
Yeah, this is actually something that I think we briefly talked about in season one, maybe, I think, about managed lanes and potentially using it as revenue potential to help cover the cost for electrification. So I'm fascinated by that whole topic. And one thing to consider is, you know, if you do it that way, there's some opportunity to get involvement from the private sector to help fund the construction as well. So I think that helps.
Yeah. And again, I mean, I think there's a lot of other considerations. We could probably go into a whole nother episode about managed lanes and equity. Just about charging people to use particular lanes on the interstate or on a road, and ensuring that, you know, those are still accessible to everyone. So, again, a whole nother episode. Again, all right, a whole nother episode.
Okay.
All right.
So we talked about benefits.
So we talked about benefits, and there's always those things, challenges. So challenges of electrified roadways. We can clearly see that there are several benefits of electrified roadways. We can think of at least four major challenges in having electrified roadways. First is the cost. Electrified roadways need charging systems under the pavement. Therefore, the installation costs of electrified roadways can be significant, requiring investments in infrastructure and technology. For example, Florida is constructing a new state highway, which will be about 5 miles long, and it will cost about $14 million just for the charging system, which is not cheap. And we also need to think about the maintenance cost, which will also require significant resources.
I don't know. I feel like $14 million out of sometimes these projects are like $200-300 million that relatively speaking, that could be a drop in the bucket. So, and of course, there's the ongoing cost of electricity running to the system, which you mentioned before, right?
Yes, that's correct. And the second is the issue of compatibility. Existing vehicles need to be retrofitted or designed with compatible technology to utilize electrified roadways
effectively. Yeah, this isn't even something that I was really thinking about, but it makes sense. All the EVs out there today are all charged by a plug-in. So do you know what additional software or hardware has to be added to these vehicles?
So the vehicles will need a pickup coil on their chassis. And then the pickup coil will receive electric power from a transmitter coil embedded in the pavement. So some companies already applied this technology for charging stations, so some EV owners can charge their vehicles at their wireless charging stations, just like charging cell phones wirelessly. And the third challenge is standardization. To ensure interoperability and widespread adoption, we need to standardize the technology and
infrastructure. And this is where we were talking about people, you know, taking the dive to actually implement this. Interoperability seems to be a huge challenge across a lot of technologies, not just this one. And, you know, but it can be achieved. It's just going to take partnerships across the state and between states.
Right. And the fourth challenge is an environmental impact. The production and disposal of infrastructure components, such as charging plates or wires, could have environmental implications if not managed properly. Also, there will be an impact from retrofitting the existing roads if we want to install the charging system.
Then, where can we find
electrified roadways? We have seen benefits and challenges, and electrified roadways look interesting and beneficial, especially when we think about the climate crisis. But are these feasible enough? Are there any pilot projects or already operated roadways? In fact, several countries have had pilot projects, including US, Sweden, Germany, and Korea. And in US, there is one in Detroit, which started operation in 2023. It is about a quarter mile, and as of April 2024, Michigan DOT is still testing it. So it's still a little bit early to tell, but we're going to see. Okay, so the last thing to know. Future outlook. As many projects are under experiment around the world, it is still early to tell, but if electrified roadways can function as expected without any significant drawbacks, then it will promote the use of EVs significantly because they will solve the driving range anxiety. Moreover, this is just my thought. Electrified roadways will allow EVs to have batteries with smaller capacity. Then we may be able to reduce pollution from the EV battery production processes. So EVs can be more eco-friendly from their production to utilization.
Well, that was a lot of really great information. After doing this episode, I do feel like electrified roadways are closer to in the future than further away, which I kind of thought that they were like a pie in the sky idea and that charging stations would kind of dominate. But now I'm starting to think maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if, you know, as transportation planners and as far as we talked about how we can prioritize locations and stuff like that, I think also, you know, we could look at, okay, pavement conditions and where do the roadways need to be repaved soon anyways, right? And then as far as those upcoming pavement cycles along the interstate or other, you know, state routes or whatever, you know, incorporating that electrification into that next pavement cycle, you know, for those high priority roadways. And so there might be some cost savings there as well, and just maintenance of traffic and all that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of like if you're already going to be in there digging around, you might as well add some electrification. I'm also really excited about this idea for the trucking industry. I know we talked about it a little bit, but I do feel like those long haul and even short haul truck trips, one of the big challenges is that like you just can't get enough battery power to, you know, move that large of a vehicle for a very long distance. And while I think they're testing EVs like in ports with the trucks, that industry is not making a whole lot of progress on those long haul trips. So I really think that this could be a solution to that.
Yeah, and something else I thought of back to talking about the pavement, but you know, the interstate system as a whole for the nation is decrepit. Right? Like it's old at this point, and it's at the point where you know, I mean, it was built during the Eisenhower administration. And so it's at the point now where we've got to start doing some full depth reclamation, you know, on the pavement and concrete. And so perhaps that's part of it is once they, and that's expensive. And so once they go to do that, they also add in the electrification there. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, and I think that's where we get into, you know, the managed lanes, and can we get some, you know, private funding in this if there's a revenue stream to help expedite that process and also help cover the cost for that full depth reclamation, which is going to be very costly.
Yeah, very exciting. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you are a nationally certified planner through the American Institute of Certified Planners, this episode is eligible for AICP continuing maintenance credits. You can find all of our podcasts eligible for AICP CM credits on the American Planning Association website at planning.org, which is all of our episodes. If you want to learn more about how Modern Mobility Partners can help, you can find us at modernmobilitypartners.com. And as always, don't forget to subscribe and even better, review our podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. And with that, we are over and out.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Modern Mobility. If you work for an organization that has implemented innovative and practical solutions to modern-day transportation challenges and are interested in being on our podcast, email us at podcast@modernmobilitypartners.com. Want to learn more about our consulting services? Check us out at modernmobilitypartners.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast.